Good morning, church. We bring you Christian greetings. It's indeed a privilege we had to have gathered in this way and just freely and undisturbed enjoy church. And may God bless our service here. That verse that was on the front of the bulletin, every time I sit in my office, I look at that verse because it's quite a number of Christmases ago, my parents, when they were still living, so you know it's a while, because mom passed in 2001 and dad in 08. But back somewhere in a Christmas, they gave each of us a large slate that you use for on a roof. And they got a verse and they fixed it on each slate and different verses. And we all had an opportunity to pick one. And that is the one I chose with that verse on Isaiah 26:3, that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. And that is a wonderful verse. I've claimed that. I like that verse. And I think it's just a meaningful verse to me to find serenity in that thought. When God is our keeper, our refuge, our strength, we need to trust him daily. So with that, I'm sharing a message this morning with savoring saltiness. Savoring saltiness. And some of that contributes to the thought of, like we were talking this morning, Charlie Kirk, I didn't know him that well either, but I knew he was a debater. He loved to go places and challenge people. And he calls his ministry the turning point. And the turning point is what he means by saying that the country needs to make a turn and become, or in a sense, get back to a strong faith-based nation. And he wasn't afraid to tell anybody anything. He would just say it as it is. That's the kind of person he was. And as I thought about that, you know, as I don't know where he's at Christian-wise or if he's a Christian, his family, how they would respond to all of that. But I know he's a good friend of President Trump. He's going to get a ride in Air Force One. I think something's happening in that manner. And they're going to have a huge a gathering for his funeral service at the Arizona football stadium. And it's a sizable stadium. I don't know how many thousand can come there or get in that place, but that's what the plan is from what I understood. And thinking about his life, he had a goal, and we as Christians would say, well, we have a goal too. But how do we promote what we believe? And we often verbally express ourselves, don't we? And that's what led me to my message this morning, savoring saltiness. And you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. I've chosen two gospels to express this, and then we want to look at some of the things about salt, savoring saltiness. But here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, the Bible says, ye are the salt of the earth. I wanted to read verse 12 with it too. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And I'd like to come back to that thought sometime. I believe that when Jesus Christ came as the Savior to the world, the promoter of the gospel, the new dispensation. He also, with that, when the Holy Spirit came, there's a part of the Holy Spirit's connection to people's lives, speaking into them. And when you and I choose to talk to somebody and share the gospel, however we will, there is a part of it, if somebody is not a Christian, they will be offended if they are rejecting truth. They will be. And it brings irritation, which we'll talk about some of the things that salt does. But as we think about what it means to share the gospel and to leave people accept what you share, I think it's a very vital link that we share with a heart of care and that we care about the person we're talking to and not just say things that don't cast your pearl before swine, the Bible says. We should always have a heart fixed on sharing it with the Holy Spirit's guidance to share. And when we think about it that way, salt is mentioned as one of the instruments that are a product or ingredient that shall be a part of our conversation. And we'll be looking at that. But here it talks about being the salt of the earth. And now if you go to Luke chapter 17, no, I'm sorry, not Luke chapter 17. We'd like to go to Mark chapter 12. In looking at what it says here. Wait a minute. I think I have the wrong verse here. Anyway, it speaks about the same thing. I didn't really know if I was going to use it or not. But that verse means identically the same thing, but it talks about savoring salt. And when we think about what savoring means is an enticing salt or something that draws your desire. It makes you want to have it. It makes you want to hear what is said. And when it talks about us speaking, that is what we want to do. We want to share it with a heartfelt experience. Salt is an interesting ingredient or product. Salt is very natural. It's a sodium chloride basis. And if you are familiar with salt, there's nothing added to it. It's a product that preserves itself. You can buy it and use it, and it does numbers of things. But if you were to, the salt, actually, the United States is the number one producer of salt in the world. Did you know that? Then we produced, I don't know how far back these statistics go, but we produced like 36,463 tons of it yearly. Now that's quite a bunch of salt. But if you were to go into the northeast part of the United States, especially the state of New York, if you go up through there, 390, there's a huge, if you look off to the left and you're headed toward Rochester or up toward Buffalo, you will see a huge, huge, I mean, it's so big, pile of salt that they have dug out of the ground. And this salt, you know what the Great Lakes are, and it's Lake Ontario has a shaft that goes down underneath the Lake of Ontario. And that salt shaft, I don't know how far down it goes, but it is under the ocean, under the lake, and it goes for like a pathway or a tunnel they have dug, a shaft, 13 miles. 13 miles under that lake. And they have rooms where they have put their old equipment that's rusted away. They never bring it back to the surface because it's so bad shape that it's no use even trying to attend to it. So they leave it down there and they put it in these empty rooms where they have mined salt out already. And if you go up to, you know what the Finger Lakes are in New York? They're up toward Penyan and Geneva and up in that area, Seneca Falls. Matter of fact, we were up there last weekend. But they're beautiful lakes. But do you know that they are freshwater lakes? They are freshwater lakes, and they're the only lakes in the United States that flow north. They empty out the top end, go out the St. Lawrence Seaway into the ocean. Well, that's geography. But when you think about that, they're freshwater lakes, and they're like 35 miles long, the skinny way, long, and anywhere from 1 to 3 miles wide. And they're like 650 to 850 feet deep with water. And not just that, below that They're like a huge crevice in how they got God did all that, but they're there. And they're beautiful lakes. But then below the lakes, in the bottom, they go through 650 feet of muck to get to the salt veins that are down there. If you go up to Watkins Glen, there's a company called Cargill, and I think the other one's called something about North something. But the one that's Cargill, that's a huge company. They have the one shaft right at the, or the one shaft they have to go down after that salt at Cargill in Watkins Glen. And they can dig down there and they go below that muck and there's a vein of salt there that will never run dry. Isn't that amazing how God put things in place on the earth and in the earth? I just marvel at that all the time. And that salt is down there. What causes those lakes not to have salt in them? They're freshwater lakes. And they have fish in them and everything else. They can live in there. And if you want to do a comparison, go over to Israel and go down where the Dead Sea is. And that is so salty, there is no life in it. Everything's dead. I mean, nothing's there. It's all just a dead body of water. It has no outlet. And they believe or think Sodom and Gomorrah is probably in the bottom of that lake. I don't know. May that be what it is. That's just a little lesson here this morning. But when we think about salt, salt in the Bible is compared to something of how you and I speak and converse and say the things we do. They use salt as the basis for that. And when we think about that, I'd like to talk just a little bit about the situation back in Exodus when, or in Genesis, I'm sorry. I think it's in Genesis. It was the time when Abraham had taken the mountainous area. Lot had chosen the valley of Jericho. He had the beautiful part of the land there in Israel. And as he was there, you know how wicked the city became. And it chose to be a city of just total destruction. And it was a terrible situation how things went. But as Lot was living there, let's get the picture and the setting here this morning. As Lot was living there in Exodus, in his Exodus down into the Valley of Jericho, and he lived there and he developed that nation. I don't know how long he was involved with it, but we know what happened there when Sodom and Gomorrah chose to be a nation or a city of destruction. And God was so disappointed with the way that the situation went that he chose to destroy the cities. And when he did that, it was because they were a people that in their hearts, they chose a direction that was not the way God intended. And sometimes we get concerned about our nation's condition to the extent of where sodomy is very much a prevalent thing today. And we always need to be careful, dear folks, that we do not become acceptant of the, maybe call it the lifestyle. We can say what we want to. We want to be very careful. I mean, we want to be careful to love people that are in such a situation. But on the other hand, we need to be a people. And that's what makes me think of Charlie Kirk. Charlie was a man that spoke against it. And folks, there's only one thing that is going to make this land more righteous. It is because the children of God choose to be vocal in sharing. And that's what really, my heart goes out to Erika and the children in losing Charlie. And why this man went and shot him, I think I have some thoughts of where his lifestyle was, what he was doing, and how he behaved. And I believe, as we think about what salt does, I'd like to move into the idea of what salt does. The Bible actually refers to salt about 39 times that I could see in the scriptures. And it brings out the idea of what salt can do in making us a people that is purified. How our hearts are corrected before God so that we would share what God would have us to say. I'd like to go to 2 Kings chapter 9, or chapter 2, verse 19, and read a scripture here. Second Kings chapter 2, verse 19. Here the Bible says, And the men of the city said unto Elisha, Behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth, but the water is not, and the ground barren. And he said, and what the picture is here is when Elisha had seen just prior to this, the happening of the prior verses there in that same chapter, is when Elijah left the earth in a whirlwind, remember? And Elisha said to them, him, that he would like to have a double portion of his spirit. And he said, the only way you receive that, if you see me leave in this whirlwind. That's what he told him. And Elisha was very careful to be keeping his eyes open. And the Bible says in verse 12, Elisha saw it. And he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And as we read the different miracles and things that Elisha performed in, you'll find that it's almost double of what Elijah did somewhere in that area, they say. I never researched that, but that's what's said. And it tells us then down here where we're at in verse 19, that when the men said, I pray thee, the situation of the city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth, but the water is not. And this was a miracle that he performed. He said, bring me a new cruse and put what? Salt therein. We're talking about the purity of salt. Salt is a purifying, cleansing agent. If you want to think about Saul, look what he did here. The Bible tells us he went forth unto the springs of the waters, and he cast the salt in there and said, Thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elijah. And he, of this day, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. And when we think about that, purification is something that's a personal idea, or not an idea, a thought of our hearts being conditioned in a purified way as God wants us to be. Free from corruption or guilt, any kind of pollution that is going to cause us to be hindered by the Spirit's guidance in our lives. And we think of purity as that. And that's what it did to this water here. It healed it. And I fail to say, but the ocean, when you go to the ocean and you're there and the waters come in, if you get some in your mouth, you'll soon realize it's pretty salty, won't you? I can remember well, we went down to Grenada a number of years ago. I had some meetings there, but Raymond and I went out, no, it was Tim Stolzfus, I believe. We went out into the eastern part of the ocean there, and he gave me a snorkel. Yeah, that's what it was, with a pipe up so that you could go in the water. He said, until you see that, you cannot understand how beautiful it is. But you got to get a look below the surface of the water. And this pipe was up about 18 inches, I guess, or whatever they are. And I had this mask on. That's what I wanted to say, the mask. I had this mask on with a snorkel, and I didn't want to get water in my mouth. But as you did that, you put this thing on, and you got your face, you kind of just laid on the top of the water, and you got your face below the level of the ocean. Only then could you experience to see the beauty that was down there, the coral reefs, all the little fish, and all the different stuff. It was about, I'd say, maybe 50 feet from the from where the waves came in. And it was a beautiful sight to experience. But I do remember sometimes when the water moved you around, drifted, it got the snorkel out of my mouth, and I would always end up swallowing a little water and then a little more. And I remember that night, I had a stomach that felt so bad and horrible, and I realized I swallowed more water than was good for me. But, and sure didn't have a purifying effect. But my thought is that you and I, as God's children, when we take salt and we consider it as a purifying effect, and it will do that, it takes impurities and correct them. And spiritually, when we identify that, it helps us to understand what God expects from us in being free of corruption, guilt, or pollution. And the next thought I want to think about, word, in relation to salt is irritating. Irritating. It is an irritating ingredient. It agitates, or it inflames, or a sore body. When I say that, I want to say this. You know, and I remember before I was a Christian, I remember a young fellow by the name of Kurtz. I used to drive a milk tanker, and he came out and he tried to get me converted. And I said, who does he think he is? And he shared with me about my need of Jesus Christ. But then I wasn't at all connected to spiritual things hardly. And I remember my irritated spirit. I had to think in myself, who does he think he is? What's he trying to tell me? And you know, after that, I couldn't forget what he did. And as he had spoken to my heart, it was the Holy Spirit that does the irritating in our lives. And I remember as life went on, I kept having these times of things that would take place in my life that spiritually spoke to my heart. And folks, when I say that irritating, you know what salt does if you get it in a cut. Do you know that your blood is 0.9 salt? Your blood is 0.9 in blood. That's a percentage. Did you ever taste blood? Did you ever have an opportunity to maybe put your tongue to your own blood? It's salty. It can have a salt background flavor. But when I say that, what I'm saying is this, that salt is a burning effect that irritates when you put it on a sore. It might irritate and it might burn and it hurts, but folks, it's going to cleanse. It burns out the drought, so to speak. It will take away. And that's what I want to identify to. What I felt was probably this young man's problem with Charlie Kirk. I think he hit him on the trigger with some of the lifestyle he was living, that he could not handle that. And he was going to get, or he thought, rid of his problem. Dear people, when we are willing to share about Jesus Christ, and we have the Holy Spirit guiding, you know, that's the beautiful work about sharing Christ. You can guarantee yourself, if you speak to somebody's life into their heart, the Holy Spirit is going to take care from there and do the rest. And I understand Charlie Kirk was quite a political person. He was pretty connected to President Trump. And maybe he does have $12 million. I don't know. He got it through gifts and all that. But I truly believe that Charlie Kirk wasn't so much fixed on getting lots of money together. I think Charlie Kirk received a lot of money from people. But on the other hand, he had a message that he wanted to get out to America. And he was determined. And he was much like that a lot of these institutions and colleges where young people were. He had a way with the young American people. But for some reason, God took him out of this world. This man got his deed accomplished and did what he did. But as I think about that, the Holy Spirit even will be faithful to convict people after this about some of the things he told them in their lifestyles and how they live and what they do. And when we're talking about the irritation of salt, salt will identify itself a lot to how our conversation goes forth and speaks to people. I think of a verse I want to share in Colossians chapter 4 in relation to salt. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Well, I'd like to back up just a little. There's a few verses we want to catch with this. But starting in verse 4, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. You see what that says? It says, as I ought to speak. Do I always speak the right way? That's not what it's saying. It says, as I ought to speak. And this is the verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are and then redeeming the time. Moving into verse 6, let your speech be always with grace. Notice that next part, seasoned with salt. That's a wonderful verse. Ladies, when you cook your meal, some of us need to eat saltless, I guess. We haven't got there, but salt, do you know as much as they tell you to control salt and take care how much input you do with salt, you do need an element of salt in your body. You do. Salt does something to stabilize a lot of things in your body. I didn't get time to research all that, but there are a lot of things that happen. But when a lady is cooking some food and she wants to know, they say a good cook always has her spoon handy and they're always dipping in and trying to sample, see if it's okay. Well, when they salt, they'll kind of taste it, and they salt a little more, and they'll taste it. And then the husband comes along, and he tastes it, and he says he believes it needs a little more. She put a little more on. You just keep seasoning. You notice what the Bible says here. It says, seasoned with salt. When the lady is taking care of getting the food just right, she keeps dumping some salt until it's just seasoned right. That is how our conversation is planned by God. He seasons it with salt that you may know how you ought to answer every man. You know, it's when the Holy Spirit has control of my conversation, I am not the one speaking the words, but it's the Holy Spirit relating those words. And that is when we want God's Spirit to be seasoning properly so that what we say is not a condemnation, but it brings a conviction on the people that hear it. And that is what was irritating in his whole experience, I have a feeling, with this young man that shot Charlie Kirk. But when we think about seasoning, it's so important that it makes or it gives just the completely right flavor. So it's really good. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16, there's also a scripture verse. Salt becomes an important thing. I'm also a pepper fan. I like the pepper stuff good. I love pepper, but salt is a very important ingredient to getting food just to taste right. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. No, I have the wrong verse there. The thought we want to bring out here, it doesn't really talk about the salt, but it says here in verse 13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make light is manifest, bringing forth through the shedding of the light, pushing out the darkness. Remember, light will always force darkness away. Light, darkness can only come in as light removes itself. And then in verse 14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. The reason I wanted that verse brought out is because of what I shared in verse 6 in chapter 4 of Colossians is, where you talk about seasoning your conversation with salt. Folks, unless we prepare our heart with the Spirit of God, we are not going to fulfill what the plan of God is in relation to what the scriptures say here. You follow that point. We do a lot of conversation, but I think it's a vital link for us to make sure that we do our conversation properly when we have opportunity to speak into a person's life. Okay? It needs to be seasoned properly. And the Bible says we should not be unwise, but understanding the will of the Lord in verse 17. So, we find that it heals. We find that it irritates while the healing process takes place. What's interesting about the irritating part, we always have to go through that to get the sore healing, and then it will cleanse it and make it all right. Let's think about softening. If you go, we won't go there for time, but back in Isaiah chapter 64, you can read it sometime, verse 8, it talks about softening clay. And what they used to do back in history was take a clay and they could soften it with a concoction of putting some kind of salted thing or to the clay, which would make it soft and more pliable and more usable. Even when the, going back just a little, but the Hebrew children, the Israelites, when their children were born to them, they had a time of, when they would, I wouldn't call it a cleansing effect or a purification effect, where they would take their child and they would take it and they'd do totally in salt their little bodies they believed that it had an effect of purifying them and keeping them safer from any health issues. You follow the point. As they're born, they needed to have some kind of environmental protection now, because they could contract all kind of diseases or whatever. But this salt purifying effect that they did with their children had something to do with cleansing them so that they were pure, so they wouldn't get infected by whatever would come along the way. But when you think about this idea of softening, I believe that God expects us to have a softened heart with a seasoning of salt that will make us an effective witness. Does that make sense? Molding clay made it soft. Another thing that salt does, and I don't know exactly, I didn't see the now we're moving into chemistry. But I don't know how this works. Do you ever make homemade ice cream? If you ever did, you will have a much greater success in how your ice cream will harden up and get ready faster if you have salt to put in your ice water around the canister that has the ice cream in it. And I'm told, and I don't know how it works, I'm not a chemist, but they say that when you get ice and put it, when you get salt and put it on the ice, what we do is put a layer of ice in the bottom. There's a lesson in homemade ice cream, but we put a layer of salt in the bottom, maybe that much, and then we'll put a quick shot of salt in there, and then we'll put some more ice in and put some more salt up there, and we'll keep doing that all the way to the top. And then we'll take some water and dump it into it. Comes out that little coopy hole out the side of the tub. And I'll tell you what, folks, that makes fast ice cream. And they say there's an activation that takes place in the chemical of salt to the ice that causes it to melt down faster, which causes it to get colder. And I don't know how it works. But it works. It melts it down. And folks, our interest in the spiritual realm of what we want to think about a ice cream making experience is that when we put the share with the Spirit's guidance in our ministry, we'll get the message through in a greater level, in a faster way, maybe, so to speak. I know we need to be careful of that, but it puts in a melting down experience of a person's life in leading them quicker to Christ. May that be worth what it is. But that is an illustration of what the Holy Spirit can do way beyond a mind and your comprehension in what we know God wants to make happen. Well, seasons. We talked about that and how the ladies season food and make it just taste right. And the last one I have here that we want to think about that salt does is preservation. Preservation. Preserving. There is a time when in preservation, I remember years ago, and even in the old house we live in, up in the attic, there are pipes hanging on wires fastened onto the rafters. We never took them down. But you know what they were for? They were to hang your bacon and your hams on. You would take the bacon and the ham years ago when they butchered. They didn't have the processes they do today to do it faster. Nowadays, they inject the stuff into it, and you can really cure the stuff a lot faster. But back then, you would get your old hog, you'd butcher your hog, take the hams, and you'd hang them up. And you salt cure them real good with salt. And the bacon the same way. And it would keep it. It would preserve it till the time you want to use it. And I liken that to the idea of how that you and I, as God's children, there is a preservation effect takes place as we as Christians share the word of God. And when that influence comes down on the environment of people around us, that will never change. It never changes. Not until eternity takes place. Not until you take the hang down and eat it. That's how it works. And there's a preservation where God does not leave. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 55 that his word shall never return unto him void. It will always accomplish that which is going to please God, and he'll make it happen. And that is going to be preserved forever. And I want to tell you something, folks. The times that you get the chance to speak into some person's life about Jesus, that will never be forgotten in that person's life. That's something we have to remember. When we have opportunity to speak into a person's life, we season their hearts with the salt of God and preserve the Holy Spirit in their hearts. But that doesn't mean they accept it. They might still reject it, but they can never forget it. Which makes it so different in how we speak into people's lives. And for us to coincide this person's speech and let the Holy Spirit do the ministering, if we get our own words involved and we kind of detour the thing off of what the Spirit might want us to do, it's a wrong direction. So that's why I feel, dear people, it's so important that you and I, when we want to minister to somebody's life, let's be sure to pray about it, that the Spirit would coincide right with us and the message would get back to them and it would forever be preserved in their hearts, even if they accept or reject. So remember that. Salt not only purifies, it irritates, it also does healing and cleansing, and it will soften as it is used in different methods and ways. It melts ice. It takes it away. Yes, that's one thing I didn't mention. Ice will melt on the roads, which you are thankful for, so you don't go sliding around. It keeps you from having a disaster. And not just that, but it seasons food, and in the end result, it preserves it for a long time. And isn't it interesting how if you would take that old ham or that chunk of bacon, that side of bacon, and hang it up there, and you would never salt it, it would rot maybe within 3 weeks at the most. But just take salt and apply it, and it will preserve it and keep it. Folks, let's be preservers of the word in speaking it into people's lives. And as we go on in life, and God gives us the opportunities, that's what it's all about, really. We want to be faithful and promote and propagate his gospel by the leading of the Spirit so it's correctly given to every individual that we have opportunity to speak for. How is it with you today? Are you finding yourself in a successful place of doing that? May God give his unction of the Spirit in preserving his gospel into the hearts and lives of people because we faithfully proclaimed it. Let's kneel to pray. Gracious Father, as we come to you this morning, thanking you for your Spirit and your guidance. And I pray, dear God, that you would help us to synchronize with the Spirit's leading in our lives. And Father, the importance of sharing it as you want it shared and not as we think we should share it. But Father, that we would sense the unction of your Holy Spirit as we do it. And Father, I pray for this congregation as they experience opportunity. May they share the word of God with your help and strength. So, Father, I pray, just make us a people of faithfulness and help us, Lord, to follow you as you grant us life. And every opportunity we have, we should seize at the time. So, God, make us a blessing to yourself. And we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.